Everybody good? I want you to know just beautifully, you just had the gospel sang over you. And there's more of that to come. I just felt led back there that Jesse's going to lead us in a song at the end. But I want you just to pray with me this morning before we get in the Word. I want you to know this before we pray. Everybody look this way. I'm ugly. I'm bald-headed. Need to lose a few pounds. Just deal with it when you look at me here. I believe this with all my heart and conversations I've had this morning, that each and every person is here for a reason this morning. I can't tell you what that reason is other than to know that we're trying our best through the leadership of the Holy Spirit to set the table for you to understand that He loves you right where you're at. I just want that to sink in this morning. Kind of even changing gears in my head, feeling God just keep saying that. Keep saying that this morning, because I don't know about you, but I need to keep hearing that. I need to keep preaching that to myself, you know, that I remember in spite of what I've done, in spite of what I haven't done, that He loves me right where I'm at. I want you to know, if you've never understood the beauty of the gospel, if it felt like rules or it felt like a set of things that I just gotta, man, I want you to understand and rest in this today, is that you don't have to do a thing. It's been done for you. That's beauty. You pray with me this morning. Father, I pray, since your presence here, I thank you for that. I thank you for each and every person that's here. I know, as I just said, and believe that and see many nodding in agreement, that we are here for a reason. Father, there may be multiple reasons. It may be to get a warm meal in our belly. It may be for fellowship and conversation, a hug, a smile, all of these things included. But Father, the main thing to understand that right where we're at, right where you find us today, is where you want to say, man, it's available. Here it is. It's my love. It's available for you to set the captives free. That's what you are in the business of. And so, Father, we celebrate that today. You, Father, get the last word over our life. We don't get to even say today. We don't have the right to be able to say, but you don't know. You don't understand what I've done. We have no right to say that. He gets the final say. You get the final say. And so, Father, speak that over us this morning. We pray and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we'll continue in the Psalms this morning for those that were here last week. This is much more beautiful weather that I enjoy. And, man, last week was great. There was a group of us huddled up around here and Jesus was in our midst. But, man, I sure like it when He's in our midst, and it's much better weather like it is today. But we continue in the Psalms. Last week, Country, we was Psalm 2, right? We read ahead. So this week takes us to the third Psalm. And I want to just tell you just a little bit about this Psalm before we get started. There is this word, Selah. It is in the Bible, and you see it in other places a couple of times, but 71 times in the Psalms you see it. This is one of the first times we see it, and it means basically there's a pause, a stop, a refrain in order just to stop of the goodness that's what's been said and offer this praise to God. Man, I don't know about you. I've had some of those moments this morning, even in just hearing Jesse sing, where I've just stopped and said, God, you are good. Seeing a smile on your face, or hugging a friend, or seeing a brother and talking about things that's happened in our life, and just to stop and a pause and say, you are good. And so the psalmist does that today. But I want you to know, as I said we were going to go into this series about the Psalms, that the Psalms is one of the most real books in the Bible. It is just very open and transparent. All of it God breathed, all of it truth. But the psalmist doesn't have any problem to stop and tell you, hey, everything is not going okay in my life right now. In fact, many psalmists, as we'll see today, the king, David himself, is at a place where he says, it feels like the world is crashing in on me. Anybody ever been there? I want you to know there's hope in that. There's hope in that situation. And David felt that today. And sometimes there's praise, and sometimes there's just honesty, a raw honesty of even the question that maybe many of us are asking right now, where we just say, God, where are you? This bald-headed preacher tells me he'll never leave me, but it sure feels like you've left me. Where are you? Do you hear me? I want you to know, man, you may look at me and say, man, you got it together. You've got the Bible in your hand and you're standing in front of us. I want you to know, I ask the questions many times, God, where are you in this? I don't see you. I don't feel you. But I want you to know there's a loving God that I believe, like Jesse painted the picture this morning, that's standing there saying, here I am, and would you just take it? I'm right here. I believe he wants to speak that over your life this morning. But I want to just tell you in the realness of this psalm, in Psalm chapter 3, here's how the heading of my Bible starts. You know, you've got these little headings in there. And the heading is this: Save me, O my God. Maybe you felt that cry before. But it says a psalm of David where he fled from Absalom, his son. So I want you to know the psalmist in this place is really finding himself in this dire straits, this dire situation of life where it really, and not just this figurative sense, but real enemies are chasing him down and hunting him. And he's on a mountain and he's hiding and he's weeping and he's crying before the Lord saying, "Would you help me? I got no help other than you. God, where are you? I need you." Anybody feel like they maybe been there today, this week? Then this psalm is for you. So the background of this is really found in 2 Samuel, and you can go and look there another time if you have a Bible. If you don't have one and want one, I'll be glad to get you one. But 2 Samuel chapter 15 through chapter 20 is where we find this story, and really where we find it is David has become this king, this powerful king, right? And he has a son named Absalom, and he's planning and plotting against his father. In fact, he's conspired and talked to all the people in Israel and getting people on his side. And not only does he want to take the kingship from his father, but he wants to take his very life. There's some plotting and planning going on. And in this, David has to flee. He has to take those closest to him, and he leaves because Absalom has gained favor with all these people. And so when the psalm starts like this, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. I want you to know, David is on the run. David is having all kind of thoughts of like, man, this is family. This is someone that's close to me. This is my closest confidant. And now he wants to not only take my kingship, but he wants to take my very life. Maybe you too have been in a situation this week where your closest friends, your closest family have said, nope, no more. I want you to know there is one that's closer than a brother. It wants to show you love, wants to show you this grace and mercy, and even in the correction, wants to bring you into this tender understanding of, oh, my son, my daughter, I've got such a better way for you. And so that's where we find this psalm. It's this crazy. But before we go here, I want to take you to that 2 Samuel chapter 15. I want to paint a picture of where this psalm was birthed, because you may say, man, when we read the Bible, when we read God's holy word, it seems like all those cats got it together and my life is just falling apart. I can't relate. See if you can relate to this. King David, 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 30. David went up to the ascent of the Mount of Olives, weeping. And as he went barefoot, didn't even have no shoes on his feet, the king. And it says, and with his head covered, all the people who were with him covered their heads, and they went up weeping as they went. David is with a group of people that are just broken. It feels as if everything that they know, every bit of life that they had, every bit of comfort is crumbling around them. And David is on the run, and he climbs a mountain, and he's weeping before his God. And there's no doubt that that's where, at least maybe not on paper, but in his mind, this psalm was written. I share with you Psalm 3. It says, O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God, Selah. But you, O Lord, are my shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord. Save me, O my God. For you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word today. We know, Father, that even today that you have meaning and you have purpose for us opening your word and hearing this from you this morning. We pray that your Holy Spirit speaks the loudest this morning. Out of all the voices that could call out to us, the enemy, our own voice, Father, even my voice, Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit speaks loudest this morning to our hearts. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of things I want to share with you. I see a lot of things happening in this psalm. And in fact, if you were to look at the range of emotions, it would read like a heartbeat. There's highs and there's lows, and maybe even some flatline moments, some moments of just desperation, moments of praise, moments of happiness, moments of, man, I don't know, right in the same moment. I want you to know David's on the same mountain, the same situation, and his life is like this of like, God, you're so great. God, where are you? God, I don't feel you. God, would you help me? Everybody's around. All of these different things of life, and maybe that's your life right now. Maybe you can relate to David and say, man, I feel so good right now, but when I leave, this is going to happen. Or man, before I got here, this happened, and I'm just really down, or I'm really high. And all of these things, man, it just feels like this roller coaster of life. David can relate, and he writes this psalm so beautifully of, get this, understanding that his God is big enough for him to be honest with. I want to just throw in a little tidbit this morning. You don't have to pay for this. This is just an extra little free nugget, right? I want you to know this morning that if you are mad at God, in fact, I'll even use the Greek word, if you're pissed off at God this morning, he's okay for you to say that to him. It's not going to be chaos in heaven. God's not going to get off his throne and say, oh my, he already knows. So, man, what a weight off your chest if you can just say, God, I'm really pissed off right now. I don't like the way life is going. That's what David's doing in this. God, there's people all around. Help me. Where are you? A man after your own heart. Where are you? The king asking his questions barefooted, head covered and weeping on a mountain saying, God, where are you? Man, I feel like you've left me. I don't know where you're at. And so we see in this psalm many things that happen. First, we see in the first couple of verses, we see some complaints. He's complaining before God and he's saying a couple of things. He said, how many are my enemies? Literally thousands. He's looking out over the mountain, seeing people run around trying to find him. He's saying, look at them, God. Are you going to let them do this to me? I thought I was your boy. Where are they? Look how many there are. Look how many enemies surround me. And in fact, he goes and almost as if you can see him talking to God and he's saying, listen to this, God, many of them are even saying that I can't be saved. In fact, go back and look what he says. In these verses, he said, they're saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him and God. He's saying that, God, this problem is so big that many in my life are even telling me that even you can't help me. Man, maybe you feel like you're at a place right now. You say, man, that's all fine and good for your whitewashed problems that you got in your life. But you don't know what I'm facing. I want you to know this. I may not know your exact situation, but I know that even if you stand there and say, God, you can't even help me, I know he's in heaven saying, yes, I can. I can. And I'd love to tell you, wrapped in a nice box, that what Jesse was talking about, that it would be this situation. You get off the street and there's the Lamborghini waiting for you at your place. And man, you know, the yacht's in the mail, all these things. Like, It may not happen that way. Maybe it does. If it does, we'll party together and I'll ride with you. You know? That's not necessarily the way God works. But what I do know this is in these light and momentary afflictions, his Bible says the weight of his glory transcends all that. And it's eternal. A weight of glory. One that's just crushing down on us. Man, it's so good. So I want you to know he's got you, even when we stand there and say, God, where are you? I don't see you. And so we go right from these complaints to seeing confidence that David comes there and he says, but you are my shield. Shield would be very important if you got enemies coming down all around, right? He says, you are my shield. In other words, he's already complained. He's already poured his heart out. And he said, but God, if anybody's going to save me, others are saying you can't, but you are my shield. And then he says this, listen, I love this imagery. He says, you are the lifter of my head. Man, anybody feel like, man, just the weight of it, the weight of life, right? Health problems, family problems, burned bridges, and you just feel like your head is just, you can't even. Listen to me this morning. He is the lifter of your head. You want to say, I don't see somebody grabbing a head real quick and lift it up. Look at me. Listen, here's what I see in that. I see a son or daughter that's beat down, that's having a tough time with life. And I see, man, just their countenance down, and I see a loving father. Look at me. Man, just look at me. I got you. I know it feels tough right now. I know life is crashing all around, but listen to me. I feel this from the Holy Spirit of God to tell you this morning, it will be okay. I've got you. Just look at me. Just look me in the eyes. Don't look at what's going around. There's enemies all down at the bottom. I am the lifter of your head. Look at me. Everything's okay. I got you. Is that comforting to know this morning that that's how God feels about us? He's not mad. He's not upset. He's the lifter of your head. And then we see celebration. He says, I've cried and you're listening. He's saying, I'm crying to you, God. I'm crying out, but you are listening and you are there. I'm celebrating. And then he says this, you're my sustainer. He said, all of these people are chasing me, but I've laid down at night and yet here I am. He says that. He says, I've laid down and I've woke up again for you, the Lord, sustain me. Some of you are in situations right now where you say, God, if you don't help me wake up in the morning, really, that's all of us. But you come to a place and you say, man, Lord, you're going to have to do this. You're going to have to sustain. This is a celebration. And then we see courage. Listen to what he says here in verses 6 and 7. I will not be afraid of the many thousands of people. Listen to what David is feeling. Hearing them, seeing the chariots, seeing the horses, the many thousands. He said, they have brought themselves against me all around, but I will not fear them. Man, it's confidence. It's courageous. And then we see he reaches to a point where he remembers. Verse 8, he comes to a place where, listen to what he says. At the end of all of this, salvation belongs to the Lord. You're a blessing. And so David, in all of this, in all of life, he comes back to a circle and he comes back around and he says, wait a minute. I can almost picture him standing there as he's weeping. He's barefooted. His head's covered. He's been mad. He's shaking his fist. He's had his head lifted up tenderly. He remembers. He sees the enemies. And he comes to a place and he says, wait a minute. That's all the other voices. That's all the other things that's going on. And listen to what he says. And he says, salvation, in other words, my escape, my rescue belongs to you. Man, that's a you got me moment. That's where David comes to a place of this great thing that if you're a believer this morning, you have the gift of. And listen, this is what the world craves but cannot have without Jesus. Listen at me. Everybody look my way. You have the gift of hope. Now, this isn't some kind of, man, I hope that happened. This is a hope of like, salvation belongs to my God. I'm hoping in that. I got that. And so I want to tell you this morning, and this is where I asked JC to come. This wasn't planned. This is the Holy Spirit of God. And so I pray that you'll listen to this. Don't listen to my voice. Listen to the Holy Spirit. This morning, addiction doesn't have the last word. Hopelessness doesn't have the last word. Loneliness doesn't have the last word. Your God has the last word. And here's what he says about you. I love you. And I want a relationship with you. And I want to come to that moment where in your ranting, in your raving, in your feeling like you've left me, I want to gently take underneath your chin right there. I want to lift your head. And I want to tell you I'm here. Salvation belongs to me. Just give it to me. Just give it to me. I'm so grateful that when the voices call out, I'm so grateful that when myself, I get to thinking, man, I just got, that he stops me in my tracks and say, listen, son, oh, man, what a mess you've made of this, but I got you. I got you. You'll hear a bunch of stuff in your life. There'll be a lot of voices. There'll be a lot of people that want to give their advice, but I want you to listen to the Holy Spirit above them. And I want you to understand that no matter what you've done, no matter what you're doing or what you will do tomorrow, he loves you and he wants to have a relationship with you. That's the best news we got. That's better than out of this world spaghetti. All right? That's why we're here. That's why my family is here. That's why you are here. God is bringing a family together so that we can lift one another up and encourage each other and let us know that he gets the final say. He gets to say who we are. And he says, we are sons and we are daughters. I want to pray that over you. I want you to listen. And here's what I'm going to ask. I know we got the truck. I know there's stuff to get. I know all of that. I want you to stop where you're at. And I want you to do this. It may even feel uncomfortable for some of you. I want you to bow your heads wherever you're at. I want you to close your eyes. block out any of the noises around, any of the voices inside your head, any of the things that you're saying, I gotta, anything the enemy's trying to say, it don't matter to you. He's not talking to you. The Holy Spirit's not, he's not confirming that in you. You stay right where you're at. I want you just to stop and listen. No, out of all those voices, we are who he says we are, and he says we are sons and daughters. Listen this morning. Just listen to the gospel being saying, Father, have your way as Jesse plays.